Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 258. This is her.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Wow.
Being able to see your face made that so much better.
In quarantine, we never lose, boys.
Yeah.
I mean, we always lose, but we're finding a way.
Even when we lose, we lose.
Yeah, even if you always lose, you never lose. That's what happens.
That's right. Yep. How's it going, fellas?
Lose if you never try.
That's right. It's going pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm loving the whole fucking dystopian fucking nightmare. I'm loving it. I really.
I'm loving being able to look at myself while I talk to you guys.
I like looking at my multiple selves through your eyes. Whoa.
Look deeply.
Wait, you're looking at yourself and.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
I've got fly eyes over here. I'm looking at 30 images of me and 30 of Matt at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that.
That's good stuff.
Wow.
Jorge, you can't be quiet. You can't just leave it quiet after
I
that,
hate
man.
These remote episodes, by the way.
It is better if I could see you. Like, it is better.
Yeah.
But
better.
Everyone misses everyone right now, and so we miss you, Jorge.
You know what, dude?
Oh,
I don't miss many people. Like I will admit that.
That's true. But, that's true. That's true.
But. Come on.
What?
You finish that sentence.
Oh, you mean I miss you guys? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He said it.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
I didn't want an implication. I wanted you to say it.
That's right. That's right.
It's the implication that matters.
Now tell me you love me.
Well, that's what I asked you via text yesterday. I said, do you still love me? And you gave me a shoulder shrug, Matt.
Yeah, he definitely did, dude. Blew
that's,
him off.
Actually, I think
that's really hurtful. That's really hurtful.
I think I said I don't think so.
To both.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah.
And then I said, dude, you don't think what? This or that? And then you gave a shrug like, I don't know. Yeah. It could be both.
Could be both.
And then I fucking, yeah. Then everything was over for me yesterday after that. It took me, I had to put the pieces back together all day and it didn't work out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to do that. Did you have time to watch Prayer of the Rollerboard?
No, I didn't
it's
have
not
time.
Even a, it's not even a have time anymore. He's doing it. I know. He's doing it on purpose.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's in my car. I'm not even like, it's not even, it's in my back.
You didn't even bother taking it into the house.
Well, if I took it into the house, you know what happens, right?
You'll watch it?
Fuck yeah. I'll watch that motherfucker. So that's the thing. I haven't thought about it. It's like out of sight, out of mind. And then I get back on the show, and it's like, oh, fucking perv.
It's probably a warped mess by now.
Yeah, right?
Nah. I put it in a case.
It's not a vinyl.
I put it in a CD case. He gave it to me in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true. And then I'm like, well, where's the cover? And he's like, I didn't keep my covers. And it's like, that's the best fucking part. It has this crazy-ass cover of these rollerbladers.
You know what happened was
I
had 2,000 DVDs and then I moved from my parents' house into a 400 square foot place with Alia. So I took all of my DVDs out of the cases. I put them into books, and then eventually my brothers just fucked everything off and threw away the cases. And
your brothers fucked up.
I had some rare ass DVDs that had.
That is true. Both of his brothers are fucked up.
Ha! That is true.
Oh.
So, hi, fellas. Have you watched anything?
Yeah, you guys go first.
Yeah, so I have. Should I do the stuff I liked or the stuff I didn't like or all the stuff?
Let's hear it in the order of you didn't like first. That's I'm excited.
Okay. There was a movie called Voyage to Agatis. It's another one of those movies where it's like X amount of most fucked up movies you'll ever see. It's fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nothing. You know, I expect there's a rape, of course. But like in terms of some of the stuff we've seen even lately, it's very mild.
It's just a mild rape.
Just a mild rape.
Yeah. What, you know,
did he say last episode? The rape felt more like a porn and I wasn't into
it. Yeah. I mean, that's,
oh shit.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So it felt very tame, even compared to like August Underground stuff, which was somehow much further down on the list.
Of what?
It's one of those lists of like, you know, X amount of films that are so fucked up you won't be able to finish them. Like that just test how far you can get.
These movies will keep you up at night.
Yeah, kind of. Like they're so disturbing. And let's see, what else did I watch? I watched other shit. Oh, I watched Men Behind the Sun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what? Tell us the goods.
It's interesting because it gets a lot of, it has a reputation for being like a very intense film. And I think it's kind of one of those films where, you know, coming out in 88, it did have some pretty extreme gore, but the more troubling part of it is like,
it's real, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not real, but it's presented like it's real, you know, and it's like, hey, these are like what the Japanese did during the war, it did to the Chinese. And so,
yeah, for the listener, the film is, yeah, it's yeah. what the experiments that the it's portraying, depicting the experiments
yeah.
that the Japanese supposedly did on the Chinese during World War II, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then and then somehow they were able to get the Bare Naked Ladies for the soundtrack, and it's Chickadee China, Chinese chicken.
It's Chickadee China.
Chickadee kind of the Chinese chicken.
Yeah, that's right.
There's some definite banana shit in there, and there was even one scene that like made its way into my dreams that night.
The intestine popping scene.
Yeah, dude, that shit was wild. In my dreams, it was like worms or like a tentacle, but yeah, that intestine scene was pretty banooners. I watched a movie, I think it's a Netflix movie called The King that I liked quite a bit. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, where there's like a young guy who's kind of forced to be king, and he has all these ideals about like, how I'm not going to fight my father's wars, et cetera, and how the challenges of being a king force him to change his views of how things are done. You know,
mm-hmm. Is he going to be the main event? Like no king was before.
Event. No, he's going to be the Mad King. Like, you know, like in Game of Thrones.
Retcon on.
He was a little reluctant. I get it now, but yeah. And then I watched the Descent, which is, I mean, it's The Descent.
That's a hella tight movie.
The Descent is one of the, I think, better horror movies of this century, I think. Yeah. I'll say that. I'll go ahead.
The
and say
century. Oh. Yeah. I'm with that.
I mean, in top 25, fuck yeah, I'll say that. Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
I forgot cause I didn't put them on my letterbox, but I had three other movies that I watched with, Patreon. I watched I Eat Your Skin.
Mm.
I watched Tusk.
Ugh.
And I watched Friday the 13th Part 6.
What about I eat my own crumb?
That's actually how he says it. He says it, my own crumb.
My crumb.
I mean, if you're not doing it, you're missing out.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It's like how can you expect the missus to do it if you're not willing to take a shot?
Exactly, dude. Fucking, that's the goddamn truth.
His fucking, he didn't hesitate to say fucking a hearty, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, duh.
That's true.
Amen, brother.
True. It's true, you know. I mean, it's right is right. That's right.
Damn.
You want to talk about what you watched, Jorgito?
The only thing The only thing that I have watched in the last week was Ronnie and I started and finished Devs.
Oh yeah, Alex Garland's fucking TV
yeah.
Show.
So it's real good. I highly recommend it. The ending is a bit fucky, and
imagine that.
But you're a Stephen King fan, so you're a fan.
Yeah, so I'm used to it. It's not a big deal. Like I'm ready to be disappointed by the endings of things.
Is this not intended to be an ongoing series? It's just a miniseries.
Well, I can't find a way that they would be able to continue it because the way it
I mean is it yeah, I mean, well, I'll look it up.
I can't
Alex Garden. Alex Garden.
Yeah.
Shut up. Savage Garden. Savage Garden made this.
I want to stand with you.
Okay, so since you like 90s nostalgia.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Since you like 90s nostalgia, George, do you like that song? Just you have to like that song or what?
I don't think that's
contractually obligated.
I don't actually think that's a 90s song.
Oh, that Savage Garden excuse song? The fuck out of me. Because yes, it is. What kind of 90s nostalgia guy are you?
The one that came out that was the big one was, I need you, I want you, can't stand a little bit
closer. I don't even know what song you're talking about.
That's the first.
That's called I Want You, right?
It's a, ooh, I want you, I don't know
that's
if
it.
I need you.
Bro, that is 1996.
I die to find out.
That's 1996.
Which one?
Okay, so the I Want You is 1996. I Want to Stand with You.
Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Yeah, I don't think that's a 90s song, dude.
It's fucking 1997. Oh, 1997 on this 97? Bitch.
All right. That's, yeah. Hey, yeah. Look, I'll accept it. Then it's good.
And the fucking, dude, I am going to send you I'm going to text you a picture of the single. Oh, my God.
I just looked it up on Spotify. You don't need to do that.
Woo.
He's like adding this to my listen later.
This is the Savage Garden podcast. We
it's
should
already
do
on there, dude. Anywho, Devs, yeah. It's real good, and it's one of those shows that I think the journey is far more enjoyable.
That's racist.
Than the way it ends, which you know, parallel to real life. Am I right?
Hey, Jorge.
Yes.
Can you tell us? Can you tell us who Alex Garland is, the guy who created this show?
Why
who
don't you tell Garland? Us, Rhett, since you're champing at the bit?
Since I'm an...
Hey, Jorge.
Because I'm an autist, I'll tell you. Okay, so Alex Garland is...
Hey, that's fucked up, dude.
He's the...
That's fucked up, bro. There's COVID-19 going on. You're talking about autists. Okay, so...
COVID-19 gave me autism,
I just
dude.
Watched a fucking movie about the Japanese the vaccine, experiments. Dude. Yeah, okay, so the vaccine, yeah, probably the vaccine, yeah.
You know what, and the Japanese didn't even give the Chinese autism, so like.
Yeah, but now we're all the anti-vaxxer memes, No, but Alex Garland, he directed Annihilation and Ex Machina, and yeah. He's the screenwriter for a bunch of other stuff, 28
Days Later, and Sunshine, which is fucking amazing, Dread, which is fucking amazing. So this boy do good.
He's boy.
He is that boy. He knows how to craft the story. So I just think there's no way for Devs to end in a wholly pleasing direction. So you kind of just have to be like, you know what? That's fine. I'm okay with it. But fuck, dude.
Matt's showing us his D.
Oh, the whole thing, dude.
Sorry.
I saw it. I know. I get it. He doesn't like things that are good.
Wait, why don't you want to watch? You're not going to watch Devs, Matt? You're not going to watch it?
I didn't say anything about that.
Oh.
I know nothing about it.
And
somebody on Patreon was like, George, you would like this show.
And I immediately went to watch it. And it's real good. I highly enjoy it and I highly recommend it. It's got some horror-y things going on there, some existential dread. So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Super sure. In.
Mm. Probably like cognitive distortions and loopholes and consciousness and shit like that. That kind of thing.
You're almost 100% on the money, my dude.
I like that.
That fucking face. I like that. Face that. Right there. See, it makes it so much better to be able to see you guys because I'm like, oh, yes, Rhett's making that face.
I'm looking at that face, and you
maybe
know what?
I just need to set up a second laptop to record.
Just use your phone.
Well, I could do that.
Just send us D-pics while you talk.
Wow.
What else did you watch?
That's it, dude.
He watched that and his hairline recede.
Hmm.
Yeah, that fell flat. It would have been a lot better had I not tripped over my own words.
I'm seeing you right now, dog. Your hairline's not looking so hot right now.
What about my hairline?
Dumb.
Okay. I finished.
I was going to say, we established you haven't watched Pair of the Roller Boys.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What have you watched?
I finished watching Mindhunter for the second time. And season two, do you guys remember season two?
Not really. Clearly and vividly.
With the Atlanta child murders and all that.
Yeah.
That shit is better the second time than it was the first time. Like, that show is so fucking well written.
Yep.
I mean, it really is. As a character
it's
piece.
It's done though, right?
No.
Well,
that's the thing.
I mean,
they like canceled it.
Well, yeah, it's in limbo right now. And it was in limbo.
It's coming back.
It was in limbo before this whole COVID-19 thing, because Fincher is busy making a movie called Mank, which is coming out on Netflix later this year. That's going to be the shit. Probably, but he's also working on Love and Robots, or Sex and Robots season two. Good. But
Rhett, did you watch that? Sorry,
what?
Go ahead.
Oh, after Mindhunter finished, like me and
Hi Sophia,
we wanted to like watch another show, but we're like avoiding the ones that everyone's talking about because, you know, like Ozark, everyone's like Ozark. So I haven't watched it and I'm sure it's great, but I just don't want to watch it for some reason.
Actually, dude, I gotta admit, Ozark, not that good.
Okay. Yeah. And I
feel like we didn't finish season two. We were super into season one and I feel like we didn't even finish season two.
Yeah, I might give it a shot, but I mean, we watched, they added Waco, the fucking miniseries, to Netflix. And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to see some, you know, David Koresh shit, you know, and see how how fucked up this gets. Dude, I made it like 30 minutes. Like, do not watch something. If something is like a middling depiction of something like that, don't watch it after Mindhunter, because the fucking bar for the writing is like here. And then I literally was like, nah, dude, I can't watch David Koresh played by Taylor Kitsch. Like, have you seen it, George, or no?
Waco?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a mini series they did a couple years ago, but it just got added to Netflix, so you can and you can stream the thing on Netflix now. But yeah, and then so anyway, I was not a fan. It looks, and then once I looked it up, basically that was the general consensus, was that it was just okay, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's about right. Have any of you seen a movie called The Stanford Prison Experiment?
Nine.
Yes.
Okay, you've seen it, Matt?
Yep.
I've seen this movie once before. But I rewatched it, and the movie itself is good. But like, what it's about is fucking amazing to me. It's about an experiment that was done in Stanford, about where they simulate a prison on campus, and it's supposed to be 2 weeks. And within 10 hours of giving people roles, they let people choose if they wanted to be guards. They initially asked them the question, would you like to be a guard or would you like to be an inmate? And everyone's...
They didn't let him choose, right?
No, they ask him at first, though. And at first, everyone's like, oh, I'd rather be an inmate, because no one wants to be the bad guy. No one wants to be the guard.
I'm the bad guy.
No. No, but anyway, so then they basically flip a coin and pick half of them to be guards and half of them to be prisoners. And within 10 hours, shit gets fucking... The roles get taken extremely serious. Long story short, it's an amazing fucking, the experiment's crazy. Shit goes bad quickly. And the people watching it can't shut it down because they want to just keep watching it and let it keep going. Cause it keeps getting
science.
Yeah. Cause they're like, oh, let's see where this goes. But then they're getting pulled into the experiment. And basically one of the guys like, this isn't an experiment. It's a demonstration. And it's a demonstration of what happens when you give people a little bit of power and a role. Like, it starts getting fucking haywire real quick. So I think you'd really enjoy it, George. It's on Netflix.
I'm super in.
It's fucking, it's really good. Billy Crudup is in it. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Billy Crudup is Blue Dong from Watchmen, the film.
He is Blue Dong.
Yes. And also in Almost Famous. No, So, Magnolia. You've seen Magnolia, George.
Yes.
Paul Thomas Anderson, director of There Will Be Blood. I watched that. And when's the last time you watched that movie, George?
Magnolia is fucking great.
Yeah, Magnolia is fucking, it is great. And I really, for the record, I love Paul Thomas Anderson's movies. So There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights. Well, it is strange though, because Vanilla Sky was directed by Cameron Crowe, who also directed Almost Famous. Whoa, dude. Okay, anyway, so I watched that. I watched
That's Lost. That's almost interesting.
David, it is fucking interesting. Whoa. I watched a film by another of Matt's favorite directors, David Lynch, Lost Highway.
David Lynch.
Yeah. Have you seen Lost Highway, Matt?
No, but I know that song, A Perfect Drug.
Do you know the song I by Smashing Pumpkins?
Maybe
you probably do.
I heard it. Maybe
that's on there too. It's hella tight. But
do you know songs, dude?
I think if there's a Lynch film you might like, Lost Highway is possible. You might like that one. Have you seen it, George?
I'll give it a shot.
Lost Highway, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's a nightmarish movie, dude. It's aging well too. And it came out in 96, so it is like vintage 96. It's Lynch's mid 90s, dark 90s movie. So it's pretty cool at this point. Much more effective than the last viewing I saw it like 3 or 4 years ago. But have you heard about What Did Jack Do? It's on Netflix.
No.
It's a short film David Lynch did, and it's about a chimpanzee. It's 17 minutes. I would only recommend this to people who are like big Lynch fans, but a chimpanzee is getting interrogated for murder by David Lynch. So if that's up your alley, then go for it.
David Lynch is like, did you do it?
But it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. But he's speaking in all these like colloquialisms and everything the whole time. So there's that.
Sawa.
I had never seen, and then Sophia is very nice about watching all these movies, obviously, but one of her favorite movies is 16 Candles, and I had never seen it. Have you guys seen 16 Candles? Her favorite movie is not Ever After or Marley and Me, okay? 16 Candles, though. Dude, have you seen 16 Candles? Was either one of you?
Yes.
I had never fucking seen it. I had never seen 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink, and I watched both of those recently.
Weird.
Have you seen The Breakfast Club?
I've seen, that's what I mean. So now it's like I'm getting my Howard Hughes thing on. So that's kind of good. Yeah, I've seen Breakfast Club. I love Adventures in Babysitting because Elizabeth.
God, I fucking love Adventures in Babysitting.
So what I do a Patreon of Elizabeth Shue dancing around in her bed.
Dude, George gave me so much shit for liking that movie.
No, I did not.
Like, hey, yes, you did.
No, I did.
Yes, you did.
Show me the fucking receipts, brother.
You know how many episodes we got?
Show me
somewhere in the first 100
receipts, brother. Because otherwise, I'm not going to take this return from you.
Okay, it sounds like we're all on board with Adventures in Babysitting then.
Of course we are. What kind of retard would like Adventures in Babysitting?
That's fucking what I'm saying.
Hey, that movie taught me the word homo.
That's because that's what you are.
That's right.
Hey, I had to learn it somewhere, right?
Well, yeah. I'll be watching that one soon because she hasn't seen that. So maybe I can watch Prayer of the Roller Boys and Adventures in Babysitting. That should be a good.
Yeah, that's a fucking combo.
That's a double feature right there. What was the last stuff? Oh, we literally this evening just finished Poltergeist a little while ago. She had never seen Poltergeist. So the original, of course. And Poltergeist is Poltergeist. Yeah. I love fucking Poltergeist. And
oh, yeah.
You guys know that was one of the films that prompted the PG-13 rating. Are you guys aware of that?
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty. Yep.
That was one of my favorite. That is one of my favorite movies.
We did a back to back of the original and also the remake of it. An episode on that.
Did we do the original with it?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, we did. I remember watching that fucking remake. It was like I watched it in Twin Falls, Idaho, just like with three other people in this big ass theater in the middle of the day. It sucked.
Oh, you were out there visiting Caps, huh?
Yep. Tiny little town. There's nothing going on there. I walked like 3 miles to get to the fucking mall to watch this movie.
I think that's one of the worst remakes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah,
it's horrific. Yeah,
it was terrible.
It really is. I mean, and most unnecessary. Wait. What? There was like a fucking respectable actor in that movie too. Who was it?
Yeah, it was Sam Rockwell. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, I know that you get paid, and you know, if it's okay to work a job you don't like and get paid a little bit of money, then who am I to talk about a guy getting paid millions of dollars for a shitty movie every now and then? But I mean, you know, the guy's a really good fucking actor, dude.
He was.
And
you know what, dude? He had to pay up for that Iron Man money.
That's right.
So I went down this like small rabbit hole of YouTube videos the other day. I was watching old Cribs episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, MTV Cribs?
Yeah, MTV Cribs. And there was this one weird ass episode that was, it was Laura Prepon, who you might remember from That 70s Show.
Yeah.
But they had a relatively unknown Jason Segel, like, along with this, like, house tour. And he's just like, oh, yeah, those are cool blinds. Oh, yeah, that's a cool bed. Oh, yeah. Those are horses, all right. It was the most surreal, like, early 2000s thing that I have ever seen in my entire fucking life, dude. It was wild. It was bonkers. I highly recommend this video.
Why were you watching Cribs?
Dude, I do this thing on YouTube where I kind of like jump around from like recommended video to recommended video.
Jump around.
And it just was a rabbit hole that I went down, man. What can I tell you?
Oh, I got it. That happens. It's a YouTube rabbit hole.
Watch like the Fred Durst one.
Yeah.
I bet that was fun.
Hands up. Yeah. Now hands down.
He shows you where
what you want to do now.
That was another album that Rhett and I were like unironically into for a while.
Don't say that, man. I was being so ironic that you believed me. That's what it was.
I remember
every time.
Go ahead, Rhett.
No. I was going to say every time me and George go on a road trip to somewhere, it always starts off where we're like listening to like kind of that screamo era, early 2000s shit.
Yep.
And then like eventually it will ironically become like Limp Bizkit or Godsmack. And then it continues to ironically be like a lot of Godsmack and Disturbed and Stained. And like,
it's bad, dude. Oh shit! Damn. I think Rhett and I actually broke a ceiling fan one time jamming out to Limp Bizkit.
At Jennifer Wood's house. Yep. I think we did. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Her father was not happy with us.
Hopping around like we were fucking on pogo sticks. And,
back when you could do that.
Well, it's the chorus of Nookie, you know. So when that happens, there's only one thing you can do to contain the D, you know.
You start hardcore dancing, throwing those hands around. You just hit the ceiling fan.
Someone's gonna catch these hands, motherfucker.
It's like hell, motherfucking Jaeger. Put your hands in the air like that. It's kind of like that.
Oh shit! Like that. Has anything like in horror news happened in the last week that is of interest?
I saw one.
What is it?
Neil Gaiman, he is the writer for Sandman. You guys know Sandman at all? The comic
book? Yeah.
Sandman is fucking hella tight.
Ari Sandman.
It's one of my, and I don't mean the Spider-Man villain. well, seriously though, someone over there is like, whoa, he took it over. I don't mean Thomas Hayden Church in Spider-Man 3. Not that guy, but he was good in Wings though, and Sideways. But anyway.
Yeah, Sideways is a good flick.
Sideways is a good movie, especially when he goes deep with Sandra Oh on the bed.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're a white person and you don't watch every episode of Wings, they take away your white privilege.
If you don't watch of Wings?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You have to.
I have watched a few of them now that you mentioned.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, white people love Wings. I watched every episode of that like three fucking times.
That's weird you said that, because I'm not even a sitcom guy, but for some reason I'm pretty familiar with fucking Wings and like Frasier.
Yep.
And like, did you ever watch Frasier?
I never watched Frasier. My brother loved it, but I couldn't get it. It was too smart for me.
Yeah, I can't talk about that.
But my brother's a fucking, my brother's an idiot, so.
But Neil Gaiman has been developing a Netflix series of Sandman. And so it was like all systems go, but everything's on pause right now. But nonetheless, a recent interview, he said that everything is just, they were building sets. They've casted it. It's ready to go as soon as they get the green light, like with all the stuff going on. So that's potentially exciting. Netflix usually produces pretty good shit. And for people who are unfamiliar with the comic and with Neil Gaiman also did like American Gods. He wrote the book for Coraline that's based on. He's a great fucking writer, honestly. And as far as comic books, along with like Alan Moore stuff, like Watchmen and Miracle Man, and along with The Dark Knight Returns, Sandman, the Neil Gaiman stuff on Sandman, particularly a story called Season of Mists, Volume 4, that's my favorite comic book shit ever. It's some of the best stuff I've ever read in my life. So, if you've never read Sandman, I definitely give it a shot. You know,
there you go.
But what else? Oh,
oh! Well,
did you hear any news, Matt, or no?
There's that A24 auction that I sent you.
Everything's so expensive already. It's ridiculous. Can't buy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went on there and there was like something I was looking at and it was like $5,000 already. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yep.
I'm not going to get that.
What would you get?
Nothing. He wouldn't get anything because it's A24.
No, I totally would. I would have got the Hereditary. What was it? Like a doormat or something. That was the thing I was looking at.
What was it, Matt?
I think it was like a doormat or something from Hereditary. I'm going to look it up.
I would get the prop of her face all fucked up. That would be cool.
I wish they had that.
Oh, my God. That's like the best fucking fake head in cinema history.
Just hang it up. Just hang it up in the podcast room for everyone to be frightened of.
And then you could like pour honey on it with live ants just to get the full effect every now and then. You know what I mean?
The full D.
That would be pretty good.
I bet that dress is going to go for like $100,000.
The Midsommar dress? Fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah. That thing's going to go nuts.
The auction site is down, so I can't even tell you what they got. But they have like some stuff from eighth grade and some stuff from the Lighthouse. They have the flower dress and the bear head, I guess, from Midsommar.
Sommar, dude.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I would still take the baby from Serbian.
Dude, we weren't that far off if we had. That's true.
You guys had mentioned that, actually, yeah.
If we had like the same level of Patreon support now or then that we did now, we would have bought that fucking baby. I guarantee.
If not the baby, at least the dick, the stunt dick.
Hey, speaking of Patreon, what's up with a Patreon, my dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. Is hella tight.
It is hella tight.
You know, like I can't believe it, but these good-hearted souls are continuing to support this ridiculous show even during these trying times.
Especially during these trying times.
Yeah. It's
especially during.
I can't believe it.
And, you know, people continue to come on. People continue to up their subscription, and that's really fucking cool. And in return, you know, we can't say thank you enough, so we're trying to bribe you with bonus content, exclusive episodes, exclusive merchandise. There's something coming to you guys very soon. It's going to be here any day. All kinds of cool shit. Go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and help us entertain you during the pandemic.
Did we mention William Ryder on the last episode?
I think so, but he's a Patreon homie, so mention him again.
Okay, well, William Ryder, Bruce Griffith, and Retta Evans, once again, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to mention something. It's kind of a PSA, you know. Yeah, so regarding this COVID-19 thing, you know, did you guys hear that fecal matter, if it's aerosolized, you could probably get it from taking a shit and like... They're saying you should shut the toilet when you take a shit because aerosolized fecal matter could spread it, right?
I mean, you don't close the lid when you flush anyway.
Fuck no. No, but anyway, so I know it's probably a good practice, and I've thought about the microscopic fucking wormhole of shit in the you know, like all my whole life, but
have you ever thought of how weird it is that the shower is usually right next to the toilet?
Like, yeah, dude. No. Y'all want to go even more fucked up?
No.
Most people, when you brush your teeth, what you do with your
brush? That's right.
What do you do with your toothbrush? You put in a little cup right by on your sink?
That's right.
That thing's full of fecal matter, brother.
Hell yeah. All kinds of doo-doo. Most people's cell phones got doo-doo in them.
Sometimes you just got to eat the doo-doo.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just cool with it now. I lick the butthole. I don't mind.
This,
it's all good.
This being the case, now the question is, can the coronavirus be spread through farts?
Maybe.
Right.
Oh, dude. So, speaking of which, I found something out really interesting today, in fact, that they have now updated the earliest COVID-19 infection up to the first week of February, February 6th, dude. And
it was going on for a while. Absolutely.
It was highly likely a community spread infection. So that motherfucker was stateside well before, dude. So we all probably got it.
No. Well, you know, yeah. I just want to talk about farts.
Let's talk about farts.
You want it to be lighthearted, dude.
I like the stupidity of it. This guy goes, luckily, we wear a mask which covers our farts all the time. He's referring to wearing underwear.
That's
so
stupid, because if you can smell it, the particles are in your nose, dog.
Yeah. That's still fecal, dude, and you can smell mine all the time, so I'm killing everybody.
I just love the idea that
everybody's going down.
That, like, you know, if you cough in public, it's like, whoa, bad form now. But if you fart in public, like, if people could get, like, actually, before it was like, wow, it's a bad thing to do, but now it's like people might get violent with you if you fart next to them, you know?
Yeah. Before it was just pink eye. Now, death.
Now it's fucking, you know, I might kill you with my fucking farts.
I got to tell you, man, it feels really fucking cool walking down the street and everybody just getting the fuck out of your way. It's so nice, dude. Like, I'm just walking my dog, and then if people are on the same side of the street as me, they just get the fuck out of the way. It's great.
The one thing that does piss me off, dude, is now there's a line in front of Home Depot.
I mean, isn't that where you and your friends hang out anyway?
Which just fucking
Uber gets he got me you
so bad, dude. It's like a 20-minute wait to get into Home Depot. I'm livid,
dude. Sprouts by my house. Like, when I go by there on my run and come back, there's like a 30-minute gap. I will see the same people in line out front.
Nah.
Every fucking day. Nah. It's a line of like 30, 40 people.
Nah.
Waiting to get into Sprouts.
Dumb fucks.
Yep.
Wait, when did you last go to Home Depot, George?
Dude, I go to Home Depot nearly every day, dude.
Did you hear that, Matt?
I believe it. I'm not even
hyperbolic.
He's gonna take whatever work he can
get.
It's
nearly every fucking day that I'm in Home Depot, dude.
He doesn't mean for handy manny work either. He means you go as a consumer.
Yeah.
You're not trying to do a moving gig with.
No, that is true.
Hey, right. Okay. Sorry. Cause that's what Matt was saying. But
yeah,
but,
I know.
I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure that you understood, you know, cause it, you know,
I
know.
Yeah, that's the joke.jpg.
Yeah. I went to Home Depot myself recently. And, have you seen those vertical gardens that people build in pallets? Have you seen those?
Yes.
We're doing that, and it's really fun. It's
just
really
make sure.
Nice.
Wait. Before you do that, just make sure that you get. This is actual a PSA. Just make sure that you get food safe pallets, because the ones that they use for shipping normal things are chock full of formaldehyde.
Ooh.
Hey, now you got to pay them $20.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
so like grocery store pallets, okay. Don't get ones from like Home Depot or like Lowe's or anything like that.
That's great. Well, that's really good to know.
Because they use pressure
treated. We're probably going to grow succulents in it, but nonetheless, if we're going
to
grow.
Still, you don't want to be around it. You don't want to be around it. Or if pets or anything like that, you don't want to fuck with those.
But we did start growing in the backyard some cilantro, you know? So, like, the cilantro, George, I don't know if you know this, but, like, your body can be turned into an antenna for, like, 5G stuff. So what you wanna do is get the metals out of your system, and you need to have half a cup of cilantro a day, bro.
You need to yeet that shit out of your system, bro.
Hell, motherfucking Jaeger. That's what you need to do.
Yeet that shit into your own mouth.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about a movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. 1, 2, 3. Stop. Hey, guess what, guys?
What?
Oh, we're freaking back, brothers.
Yeah, bro.
Assad. Hey,
what'd you guys do on the break?
I don't want to talk about it, dude. We talked about things.
Mind your own fucking business.
I had more interesting conversation on the break than I did in the previous hour.
Totally.
That's right.
So the Who Goes There podcast watched 2018's, I guess, but like released in the US 2020, The Witch Part 1, The Subversion, directed by Hoon Jung Park, also written by Hoon Jung Park. Here we go, everybody. Starring Seung Chul Baek, Kim Byung Up, Woo Sik Choi.
Whoa, he's making shit up.
Da Eun, Kim Ha Na, Min Soo Ju, Woo Rim Jung, Da Mi Kim, and a fella named Taekwondo. I shit you not.
And a fella named Taekwondo. Is that for real?
What role does Mr. Taekwondo play?
He plays Director Go. So in your face, idiots. I wasn't racist.
Yeah, he's racist for being named Taekwondo.
He's the asshole.
That's the worst kind of racism, that kind of outright ignorance that's not even aware it's being racist. It's a systemic racism.
Right.
For sure. That's right.
Hey, Matthew.
Saw it, dude.
What'd you think of The Witch, dude?
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
This is probably my favorite movie of the year so far.
What? Yeah.
This movie's okay. Tight as fuck. I've watched this movie 3 times in the last like 4 days.
Okay.
It gets better every time I watch it.
Riggedy Rhett.
First and foremost, I want to give Matt props because I anticipated immediately after watching this. In fact,
How magnanimous of you to give him props for liking the movie.
No. Let me finish. Let me finish, Trump. Okay. Now check this shit out.
Aren't you so charitable?
No. About 30 minutes into it, I'm like, here come the texts that this is not a horror movie, right?
I was there.
I don't think any of us, I certainly did not anticipate, given the trailer and the name, The Witch, you know, and all that. I knew it was going to have a lot of action because of the trailer, and it's going to have some sci-fi tropes.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
It was right in the title. You missed it.
The subversion.
Oh, subverted expectations.
Right. Egg Zachary.
Everywhere.
Right, it sure did. So I'm glad we didn't get those texts, and it turned out okay. And then I'm glad I didn't have to bring up like another movie that wasn't a horror film and all that good stuff.
He's like, you like Wolf Cop,
yeah, or fucking never mind. You know which one I'm talking about.
Or fucking like Underwater.
after midnight. No, but I know. They seem like nice fellers. It sucks when they seem like nice dudes and all that shit. But this movie, this is fucking weird, okay? I thought the last 30, 40 minutes were fucking amazing. And I thought the rest of it was pretty beautiful. Like the cinematography is really good. The actors are good. The pacing of it, the movie's good. It's a good movie. It's a great movie. The pacing of it pissed me off. I'll be honest. I thought they should got where they got like at an hour and 20 minutes. I wanted them to get it like 40 minutes. And I can't down it for that, but I guess I think because of the trailer, I just I wanted it to get where it was going sooner. So okay. that might sound kind of immature of me, but the pacing kind of fucking got my goat a little bit. But that being said, they laid some groundwork for a potentially good sequel and series, I think. So
yeah. It's supposed to be a trilogy.
This is one time that I am in diametric opposition of Rhett. I fully enjoyed the whole fucking thing.
Well, fuck you guys.
The pacing didn't bug me because I think the payoff of kind of finding out sort of everything that happened in her life was for a reason. I think is worth it, man. I think it's super worth it, and you have this side story of this the poor mom falling victim to Alzheimer's and dementia and whatnot. And I think that stuff is super effective, and the poor dad just trying to keep this shitty family together and everything. All that stuff, I think, to me is super super effective, and I 100% love this movie.
And then yeah. So we're done.
And so we're done.
That was easy.
You don't think I agree with you. That's the thing. It's not that I don't agree with you guys. I guess it reminds me a bit of the pacing of The Host. And The Host, I had known what to expect for some reason. I think I was a little more obviously a different director, but what I mean by that is there's a strong emphasis in these Korean films of not just of the spectacle aspect of like whatever in this one, the action, which is fucking amazing. And, you know, and the gore element to it and all that. But the human story, the characters, the family story that's in it, I wasn't quite as engaged in that one, in those elements in this, as I was as something like...
Well, see, maybe not the family story so much, but the story with her and her friend, you know, the kind of like coming of age story where you feel like she's kind of this shy nerd who doesn't have a whole lot of friends, and she's smart and everything, and she's coming out of her shell and singing for the first time in front of people and... You know, so like it may not have seemed as like important, the family dynamic, but there were so many little important stories throughout the beginning, and it was so beautifully shot, and like all of the color play that they use, and like the switch when, you know, things happen later in color, and the fucking score, like Jesus Christ, like every bit of the score just matched perfectly what was going on, and I was subverted at like every turn.
You know, it might be a different director from Parasite, but I, you know, the male English speaking witch, Woo Sik Choi, by the way, he was actually in Parasite, so I feel like it shares a little bit of DNA with the Parasite, and it shows.
For sure, he was the son in Parasite, right?
He was.
He did, you know what, too? I gotta say, yeah. What Matt just said about the friend, the one that kept calling her bitch and all that. That was a really cool fucking relationship, of course. And then, yeah, what Jorge just mentioned, the little boy who grew up and was, what's his name? I don't remember his name.
In the movie or the actor?
In the movie.
It just says male English speaking witch.
Yeah, he was fucking badass. He was pretty good. I mean,
and also I really, really, really enjoyed those moments where the Korean actors would break into just like perfect English, and it really kind of threw me out of the movie a little bit. It was almost a little bit fourth wall breaking somehow.
It subverted your expectations of a Korean film?
No.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did. Ha.
No, it's because you're dumb.
Huh?
It destabilizes you a little bit, though, because you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, you know? So, no, I get what you're saying. And you know what? Immediately, hearing what you guys are saying, and since I've only watched it once, a second viewing is in order, because then I would know what to expect from the pacing and stuff. So maybe I think I just expected a little more balls to the wall here. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just my expectations. I try not to have those get the better of me with this. But I think it needs a little bit more fucking action, though, regardless. I mean, I'm sure the sequel hit the ground running, probably.
See, I really appreciated the fact that it was a quiet film in the first, two-thirds?
Yeah.
Because if it was all, you know, this is one of the rare moments that if it was all payoff the whole movie, it would lessen the effectiveness of that last 30, 40 minutes.
No, because I don't want to say, I'm not saying the whole movie. Not the whole fucking movie. Foreplay is
important. Like,
it's a lot of edging. Yeah, that's a lot of edging.
They do a good job of slowly building you up,
and not in a frustrating way, because I think everything that kind of happens, like when you reflect back on it, even the American Idol type things, that you're like, oh, she's just doing this to bait these fuckers out. And I really, really enjoy that, because it makes you think about every single moment that happened up to that point. She had planned every little bit.
That's why I watched it three times, because like the first time you're trying to just keep everything together, you know, and then once you know what's happening, you go back and it's like, oh, fuck, like I noticed this little thing here and this little thing here. Like,
and it holds together pretty well on subsequent viewings.
I think the only thing that's kind of fucky about it is that like she walks for maybe 10 minutes to a farm and they can't find her there, which I'm like, well, maybe like. You know, you could have found her on that farm that's like 10 minutes away from this facility. But other than that, I think, you know, it holds up pretty well.
Yeah, but they didn't really look for her, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, so they've been looking for her for 10 years, but they didn't look at the farm that was 2 seconds away from the facility.
I don't think they were actually looking. They just assumed she was dead.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Hmm. Well,
I think Matt's correct. Well, yeah, and he watched it three times. Yeah.
What do you mean?
They watched it three times.
They just gave up after a day.
No, so they basically didn't even look. Like they just kind of, you know, searched around the perimeter, and then they had the conversation where the head lady, you know, the main brain doctor, is like, you know, whatever, she'll just die anyway. We'll just leave.
Yeah, the Korean old white bitch.
She was a Korean old white bitch.
She was for sure.
She had that whole Paula Deen blue hair or blue eyes with the white hair thing going on.
She totally had a Karen haircut too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. definitely wanted to speak to your manager.
Speaking of which, she looked a lot better with the haircut that she had when she was older than when she was younger.
So much more fine. I'm like, damn, how did you get so much more fine? She was already super fine.
Sophia and I both noticed that haircut business. That was definitely in the thing there. But what the fuck else? What else? There was something else I wanted to bring up with you guys. I forgot regarding this fucking movie.
What could it be, dude?
I don't know, dude. It had to do with what you're talking about. When you said they were looking for, just what Matt said, that she assumed that she was going to die. She just assumed she was going to die. But why would she assume she's going to die?
That's exactly it, dude. She's a fucking superhuman, man.
That's the thing is they didn't know, like they knew how effective and how talented she was, but they didn't think, I mean, she was like what, fucking 7 years old. That's why they decided to kill them all in the first place, was because they're like, oh no, we can't really control these guys. So we just got to fucking kill all of them. And so they assumed she's a 7 year old girl out in the wilderness by herself. Like, yeah, she can kill, you know, seven wolves at one time, but you know, she's still going to eat.
That's just it, man. So, like, why not expand the search for, like, maybe a half mile away from where you were looking for her originally?
Because then you wouldn't have a movie.
Well, I understand that, Matt. All I'm saying is my couple quibbles and niggles with this movie.
I don't think you're allowed to say that, dude.
Maybe we're just supposed to assume that they continued searching for a while and then they didn't find her, so... It went cold. I guess that's whatever.
It's just one little kid instead of like 20 of them.
But it's not just a little kid.
But then they let the other one live too. They let the little boy live.
Yeah, but contained in a facility.
I mean, Still got.
I don't know. I just think it's a little of all the things in this movie that I'm like super appreciative of. That's one of the more fucky things that I'm kind of irritated at. I go, well, this bitch, she literally killed seven giant dogs without even giving it a thought. So she can't have survived in the wilderness for fucking a day. What?
Well, that's, well, I don't know. Most 7-year-olds would even survive a day. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hey, that's what, yeah, I could see both sides of that.
You've just been subverted, bro.
Well, no. Well, I mean, on the other hand, like I said, you know, for Matt's thing, I guess we're just supposed to assume that they didn't find her and it went cold. You know what I mean?
Well, but, especially at that point in the movie, like, you don't really know what's going on. Like, I felt the first time I watched it, I felt lost instantly because they kind of just do like a barrage of photos and you just see that there's like corpses of some kind. You don't really understand what's going on because it doesn't get.
Well, the imagery in the credit scene was really weird because they had a little bit of Russian sleep experiment stuff. And, you know, like the, you know, there were the kids sitting around a light bulb that like during the Cold War was important for them to get their vitamin D.
Vitamin D, you have to take the D.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if you don't, you die.
Otherwise, you don't get any of the other vitamins absorbed correctly.
And there's some, that's, you know, there's D. there's some hints of like MK Ultra shit in the, you know, the opening credits and whatnot. So I think
speaking of the fucking, I loved those opening credits. Those opening credits were fucking cool. Yeah, those were great. I forgot about those. Absolutely. Did you guys look up the director, anything else he'd done by any chance?
I know he wrote the screenplay for I Saw the Devil.
Yeah,
I don't remember a lot about that movie. I remember it being super violent. I do remember the scene in the car, but that's about it.
I Saw the Devil is hella tight in my opinion. Have you seen I Saw the Devil, George?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember how we were going to, you know, hypothetically do a top 10 of the decade thing for Patreon? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I made my list, you know, just because I like doing that shit anyway. But I Saw the Devil. At one point I remember Matt debating whether or not I Saw the Devil was even a horror movie. I think it is. But that's in my top 10, like, for that decade. It's not, like, in the top five, but I really like I Saw the Devil. And so that was cool to find out he had written the screenplay for this. But as far as these other films he's directed, I haven't seen or even heard of any of them. So
yeah, me either. I don't know if they're all just, you know, independent films or if they're.
Yeah, you've got New World, The Tiger, VIP, and I Saw the Devil as his top credits. No, man. And
Korean cinema, though, is the shit. I mean,
it really fucking is, man.
Just fucking ridiculous. Well, see, this feels kind of like, to me, also their answer to, you know, the last 30 minutes, it's kind of like wish fulfillment comic book fucking movie, but Korean style.
It's like John Wick.
Yeah, but like it's super, like it's like Korean fucking, like, because they're kicking each other, but they're superhuman, so they're kicking each other through walls and corridors, and there's fucking blood spatter everywhere. I was reminded of The Matrix a couple times, but then it goes much further with the violence.
It's like if Lucy was a good movie.
Hey, I like Lucy.
I love Lucy.
Yeah, you did. You just didn't ever do. I guess Matt, you said you never did acid, right? That's fucking crazy. Well, you guys fucking wasted your life not trying acid, but that's okay. that's a joke. That's coming from the sober guy. I know, strange, but yeah, I think
that's called gallows humor. Am I right, dudes?
Well, no, you know, to be fair, acid isn't, you don't really have acid junkies, you know, they're not like, oh, I need more LSD or, you know, I can't go to work. It is true. You can't go to that because, dude, it doesn't even use dopamine. Neither shrooms nor LSD work with dopamine. That's why you don't have people waking up like, oh, I need more shrooms. I can't go to work unless I get more shrooms. They don't do that.
Matt says that on a constant basis.
I do.
Yeah, have you ever been to work on shrooms, Matt?
Fuck no, dude.
Fuck no.
No.
Now, have you ever been to work stoned?
No. Do not. Do not mention. Do not comment, please. Thank you.
I have been to Disneyland and Universal on mushrooms. That was hella tight.
Yeah. Well, I've done the Disneyland thing. Yeah, that was fun. But anyway, I dig. Yeah, you didn't like Lucy, George?
No, man, that shit was garbage. Come on, but it was fun.
Oh, come on. Yeah, well, there you go. It was fun. I thought it was fun.
But
yeah.
This is Lucy, but Korean and better.
This is a much better film than Lucy, but it's much less trippy than the ending of Lucy, too. So, you know, I mean, I don't think this is... This isn't particularly high on the trippiness scale to me.
The ending of this movie was pretty badass.
Yeah,
it was pretty
trippy.
Hold up a bit.
Yeah, so okay, so they get through the fight scene and she's getting, you know, she's wanting the drugs, the drug.
She wanted to take her to the drug.
And you know, you find out that it's in a facility down by the river. So she leaves with the cases she's got, and then she gives the dad the drugs for the mom and give it to her every month for 8 months, blah, 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 blah. And then it cuts to 3 months later, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So she goes to the head of this corporation or wherever the fuck it is. And the one thing that I left kind of head scratchy was that moment where, like, she looks in the mirror or the window and it pans over to that girl standing right next to her. Like, why was that supposed to be dramatic? I don't understand.
Yep. I have no idea.
Well, I think immediately it's setting up the question it's supposed to be is, who the fuck is that girl?
Yeah.
And so it means there's more people. The world's going to – I think the feeling I got immediately, George, that the world's going to expand like a proper sequel.
Mm-hmm. Next time.
Yeah, tune in next time because you'll get to find out who this fucking chick is. And if you thought you saw some serious shit, well, that was just like the prologue, because now we're getting to the meat of the story. And like the old white Korean bitch had a fucking twin sister. And now we're getting into the real shit. I feel like my appetite was perfectly, regardless of whatever pacing issues I had with the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's saying that, again, it was well acted and it was extremely well shot. So it's not like, oh, shit, until the last 30 minutes. Not what I'm saying at all. But yeah, I think it's going to hit the ground fucking running hardcore at the second one. But
I think the pacing is going to be moot by the time the trilogy gets done. Because, I mean, look how much time was taken to set up the first Lord of the Rings.
Like, right.
But then look how epic that trilogy is as a whole. You know, it doesn't matter that it's fucking 10 hours long.
No.
The director's sister was the one who died, right? Not the one who's standing next to her in the white sweater. Am I right, or am I not thinking correctly?
Correct. I don't think that was. I mean, huge spoiler. I don't think that was the lady who died at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
We just have no idea who White Sweater Bitch is.
Yeah, nope. I think maybe she's just like another experiment of some kind. Because, I mean, you
got to see. She's the next threat is what I got, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you've played Resident Evil at all, you know that these viruses are like always evolving. So, like, if they're creating these super soldiers, which is what they're doing in, you know, Resident Evil and in this movie, you know, they have different prototypes. There's this new sweater bitch could be an early prototype. She could be a newer prototype. I'm hoping she's newer. She's like the T-1000 versus the T-800.
Okay.
So she's got all kinds of super upgrades. But, you know, how did you guys feel about the little bit of the story where it's just like, we only use 10% of our brain for a reason?
I always hate that stuff, man, because, yeah.
I mean, it is definitely overplayed.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, how do I...
Like, I mean, did that bother you that they're just like shoehorning that part in? Because everything else was so interesting. It's like, okay, well, you're a super soldier, you know, eventually the, like,
no,
it's
going to
take
its
toll on your body and you're going to die. But the reason it's going to take its toll on your body is because you're using your brain to its full capacity.
See, I don't know about like its correlation to the drug, but as far as them, like, the 10% of your brain thing, I don't have a problem with that because, well, frankly, when people say the term you're only using 10% of your brain, what they mean is consciously. So
one time, too.
Well, unconsciously, the other 90% is being used. So
you're alive.
Well, yeah, and also though, like what it means is the field of conscious awareness is the tip of a very large iceberg. The rest of it is underneath the water, and you're not aware of it. So that's psychology. Like, that's interesting to me, first and foremost. And it implies that, like, you know, you're actually, you're in many places at once, so to speak, like not physically, but as far as consciousness goes, but your field of conscious awareness is just like a little fucking speck of it. But that's the one we're communicating with right now. So we think that's the center of consciousness, and it's not. It's just the conscious one.
You look so much like a bald Corey Feldman right now.
Do I sound like a bald Corey Feldman?
No, but you look so much like a bald Corey Feldman.
Right, hey guys, now. That's great. Have Corey Feldman's told you
fucking hella tight.
My Corey Feldman story?
Has Corey Feldman ever told you?
You fucking ask that every week now.
You should definitely hit him up on Cameo.
That would be a good use of Patreon money.
Hold the fuck on real quick. It's relevant. The 10% thing is relevant to the movie. So I don't get why does that bug you, George?
Well, because it's not true.
Yeah, I know it's not true. Yeah.
Not only
what is true though is literally not true.
Now, what is true though is that the field of conscious awareness is a very fucking small part of consciousness. That's true.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that, but the idea that you're
so
that
it's the same shit. I mean, it's just the 10% thing, like, you know, where did they get that data? Nowhere, you know.
But no, it's bullshit pseudoscience is what it is.
That's right. It's all pseudoscience though, George. That's the thing.
Not all of it, not actual science.
Oh yeah. Actual science changes every fucking day.
Yeah, that's why it's called science.
Right, exactly. But
more to the point, mathematics is probably the thing that doesn't change very often.
Not very often. That's correct. Well, we don't know about ever. We don't know about ever because we're not around forever. You know what I mean? It doesn't change until it does. So, you know, once it changes, they're like, oh, we've never seen this happen. Well, now you have.
The thing that really fucks me up about like physics and math and whatnot. The thing that gets me is Albert Einstein comes up with the theory of relativity a gajillion years ago, and it still is, you know, it's fucking science law, and it's crazy, man.
Well, that's what I mean. That has a lot to do with fucking sociology, the reasons why, meaning you get groups of guys that agree on something and it becomes gospel and no one can question it anymore. And that's not science. So there's a slew of people that are questioning Einstein and all that, you know, but yeah, generally there's some like well-respected laws with Einstein's theories and all that. But the idea that they're immutable laws, like, no, I mean, if you're doing that, then we'd still believe that the Earth was the center of the universe. That was science, you know, any number of the shit we believe today, 100 years from now, will look like absolute fucking nonsense.
I agree with you to an extent, but I think like mathematics, there isn't much wiggle room when it comes to like, well, is the Earth round? Okay. But the speed of light is a constant. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's
sure.
No way. There's no
186,000 miles per second.
There's no way to like argue that. So anywho, to get back to the witch,
To get back to the 10% continent. No, I'm just kidding.
I do like that they didn't fuck with the pseudoscience too much. They weren't like, well, this one sliver of your brain that we've infected with a serial killer's DNA is which they did a little bit, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Did y'all miss that part?
Yeah, you kind of say that one more time.
There was a point where they talked about a serial killer in the movie, and they were saying that was some of the things that they tapped into when they were creating these
super soldier children
DNA babies.
Hmm. So they tapped into those. They tapped into those kind of
psyches.
Yeah, so then they were saying.
So they created them or tapped into it? I don't get it.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, they had spliced them with it, and it gave them like increased physicality and like an affinity for violence. And so they nurtured the violence, and that's the scene where, you know, she's stabbing all those wolves. So that's basically like her throwaway expo dump is how, you know, they were created and why everything is to where it's at right now.
They weaponized the trauma.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting.
She literally weaponized her trauma.
That's a good point too, and it is like the most literal weaponizing trauma possible, basically. But no,
you're like literally.
Yeah. No. Well, because traumatize them and weaponize them. That's it. But it sets up like the rules of the series where their power levels improving are dependent upon their appetite for violence raising like at the same time. So they have to become more violent to get more powerful is right. What it sounds like.
Well, and also the idea that there is a permanent solution to, or a permanent fix to the countdown in her brain, I think is also a cool little, like not a nod to the next movies, but there's going to be some definite setup and continuation. I think that's a really cool and clever way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing, Matt? What are you doing over there, dude?
I'm listening. I'm talking. Well, now I'm talking.
I said theory of relativity, and he fucking noped out.
Yeah,
I know. We're trying to get back on the D.
all you got to do is ask.
There you go.
I was thinking that this is going to be really what New Mutants is going to try to be like, and I'm not just going to give a fuck because I like this so much. And New Mutants is PG-13, right? Because you kind of got basically like, a bunch of gifted, rebellious young people who escape from a school/compound kind of place and then use their powers to run amok.
Yeah.
Well, George mentioned MK Ultra, which is a real thing. But yeah, I was reminded of like the Weapon X program, and all that kind of stuff from comic books. But that's why, like when I said it is very much like kind of Korean cinema's answer to like, oh, you guys like fucking superhero movies? Like here's a Korean fucking superhero series. That's what it feels like the beginning of, which is like, yeah, I think you guys are both right. And I think what Matt said, I think we haven't seen shit basically. Like, yeah. I think this is like the origin story for the chick, and it's barely introduced you to the ground rules of this universe. So, but yeah, it absolutely reminds, when you mentioned New Mutants and all that, I think it's definitely influenced by a slew of other like sci-fi action things. And that's essentially what comic book stuff is. It's sci-fi action, So New Mutants, as far as it being PG-13, I've heard it fucking go back and forth like 5 times now. If it was PG-13 or R and all over the map. But I guess the guy got final cut and he says he's satisfied with it. But yeah, I don't know. As far as New Mutants' powers, though, I mean, that shit's all over the map. Like the chick that Anna Taylor-Joy plays, Magic, like the stuff you'd see in a New Mutants movie, whether it was a good movie or not, is way different than what you're seeing in this. I mean, this is physical shit.
There won't be guns in a New Mutant movie.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like this is, will. Yeah, I doubt it though. This is, there'll be a lot more CGI and probably shitty CGI, and this is more physical and more gunplay and all that stuff for sure. More weapons, all that kind of stuff. But,
cool dudes. I mean, you liked it, right, Rhett? Mostly.
I did like it. No, I liked it. That's what I mean. I don't want to give the impression. I just want to be honest, though, that especially to the listener, I mean, I wouldn't expect, don't expect a fucking extravaganza coming out of the gate because it's going to set stuff up for an hour and a half, kind of.
I mean, I don't think it's an hour and a half. And you get little tidbits.
It's like an hour and 45 minutes.
You get little tidbits of things along the way too, like the little confrontation with the English speaking guy and like, the greenhouse bit and like, so it's not really until an hour and 20 minutes in that shit gets really fucking bonkers and just really pops off. But there's definitely some craziness that goes on early on.
Yeah. I mean, given what we've seen this year, there is absolutely, given what we've seen this year, it's one of the better things I've seen this year for sure. It's just I didn't love it as much as I thought I would. That's basically where I am with it.
You should try watching it again if you can, because it really benefits.
I think you're right
viewings. Like, so there's like a scene, how she goes on and she does the magic trick on the show, and that's one of the first things she does. when she's sitting around watching it with her parents, there's a scene where she kind of just turns and like looks at her dad when it's airing and kind of grimaces a little. And like the first time I watched that, I'm thinking like, okay, she's just like nervous because like her dad's watching her do this performance in front of all these people. But when you go back and watch it with like all the knowledge of what happens later in the movie, you're like, oh, she's, you know, nervous because her dad is going to find out that she's got these powers. So like there's a bunch of little things that have different context when you watch them again. And I feel like that really helped the pacing of the first hour of it, because you just see things from different perspectives. You'll see like little facial expressions that you didn't really think much of the first time, but it just goes to show what a great actor this what's her fucking name, Kim Da-mi, is. Like,
did you just call her a dummy?
Yeah, there he goes again. Da-mi. No, but which one was Taekwondo, George?
I'm not kidding, man. I'm not. It's not me, dude. It's not me.
It's not me.
It's not me. It's you, dude.
I will definitely watch it again. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I own the fucking thing. This is the thing, too, where I saw it. I saw a physical copy, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm buying it. That's my impulse buys now these days, you know? But
hey, I was happy. If that's another one you don't end up liking, you can give it to me.
I'm sorry, what?
What happened there?
The DVD.
DDD. All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 1, 2, and for the Witch part 1 subversion. We hope you've been subverted. And what are we doing next week, fellas?
Are we doing Sea Fever?
Sea Fever sounds great. It sounds like Underwater 2, and I'm fully in.
Whoa. It's indie Underwater, so without the production design, plus probably some legitimate tension. And there's plenty of quarantining in it. So
I don't want it then. Fuck it.
Oh, fuck.
I have no idea what it's about.
Nah, we'll watch something for next week. And until then, this is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Later, fucks. I hate your stupid idiot guts. Bye.
Hail Sam.
Bye.
Stop recording now.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.